Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the Lexi Podcast, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode. It has seemed that there is an overwhelming amount of fear in my audience, in my peers, in just the general girl, guy, whoever, in their late teens, 20s, to have it all figured out. You spend middle school getting prepped for high school, and then high school prepped for college, and college prepped for the real world, and then the real world prepped for the more real version of said real world. To what? Spend the whole time in fear? I just turned 29 over the weekend. I'm 1 year away from 30. Could not be more excited. As someone who doesn't have any stress about aging, if anything, I'm really looking forward to it. I figured I would share my two cents. In addition to that, I did ask around. I phoned a friend for maybe five or six of my friends in their 30s, 40s, and then a couple family members in their 50s and 60s. And you know what? Sneak peek, as for my family members, by and large, it seemed like 40s were the most fun. Same thing, asked another friend of mine. He's in his 50s. He said, by far, 40s, most fun. And that gives me a lot of peace. Quick little life update. I want to say thank you to any of my friends that are listening to this episode that were a part of throwing my birthday over the weekend. You guys truly made it so special. I swear I have some of the most thoughtful friends in the entire world. One of my best friends, basically family at this point, known each other since we were four, came over, decorated the house while I was in the shower. I come out, there's a banner with photos of me from all last year. There's photos of me and Spoon and text all over the house. My bestie and roommate takes me to the Puma offices to get swagged out and then take me to Rolling Loud over the weekend. Two of my other friends come the day of my birthday, cake in hand that says, for the best person you've ever met. Come on, make my head a little bigger, huh? Two giant bunny balloons and napkins with strawberries all over them. Like just all things Lexi. And it made me feel incredibly seen, even down to one of my best friends is really, really talented at drawing. And one of his favorite things to do for a Christmas gift, a birthday gift, is to draw almost like a coloring like page as a card for you. And it had little alphabet soup letters with a spoon that said my name. And, you know, my dog's name is Spoon. I got gift cards to PetSmart and a local dog store. I really just felt it's not about the gifts. It's not about the decoration. It's just the fact that I have people in my life that have gone out of their way to make me feel so special and celebrate the day that my soul decided, all right, let's try it out. Let's give this whole life thing a shot. And I felt very loved and very seen and had a really, really good weekend. So it's been a busy couple weeks. Went skiing, went to Indian Wells tennis tournament, had a birthday, went to Rolling Loud. What else has been done? I've been exhausted. This week, I have been trying to get prepped for my 3+ week long trip to Australia and New Zealand, which I will speak more about. And I'm really excited to have podcast episodes once I'm there because I will certainly be bringing my mic with me. And I would love to maybe bring some guests on. Who knows? I say that. But then even one of my best friends who flew out to Los Angeles for 29 hours to see me, he's like, all I got is 29 hours. They're yours. Arrives, treats me like a queen. It just was the most special time. And he's someone that I've always wanted to have on the podcast. And even still, we're like sitting on my couch, microphone equipment right in front of us. And he's like, we can talk about it, but we're not talking on it. You know, it was effectively, I was like, do you want to be on it? He's like, one day I'll be on it. I was like, all right, grab the mic. He's like, no, I have to think about what I want to say. So that's a bummer. But the point is, the idea is there. I'd love to have guests. Did it with Siafi, one of my favorite episodes of the year. She is one of the most interesting, fun, beautiful people, and she's in this whole new fitness world and has such a cool perspective on fitness. So she's been someone I've wanted to have on the show for quite some time. But I'll be in Australia. I'm trying to prep. I've had to cancel on, I feel like I keep flaking on people because I'm so tired. I get to the end of the day, I'm like, I can't do it. I've been sleeping through the night and then taking a nap. Is this what 30s is going to be? Because I, in some ways, feel like I'm in the best shape of my life. Really consistent with my workouts. I don't know. I'm not like grunting when I stand up the way that some of my friends are, which, taking note, guys, we need to prep. We have to put in the work now so that we can reap the fruits of our labor later. but I am tired. I can say I don't know why, but I think that there's, you know, I was out and busy and social battery was being used. So it makes sense that the first 3 days of this week, I've been playing it cool, cooking at home, relaxing. That's also such a lie. As I'm saying this, Tyra and I are the same way in this. She's my friend that I live with, and she comes into the living room and she's like, I have not been out in weeks. I feel like I haven't seen anybody in weeks. I'm texting everybody like, let's get a drink. Like, let's go to Cafe Triste. Like, I have to do something. Like, where are the people? What is the thing to do? And I was like, I feel the same way. I haven't seen anyone. I'm like, wait a second. We hosted a party over the weekend. We went to Rolling Loud over the weekend. It's Wednesday. I also went out Tuesday night. The only night I didn't go out was Wednesday. And the only night she didn't go out was Tuesday. I'm like, we are the drama. We are the drama. Anytime I spend more than 50% of my day at home, I'm like, I'm fucking up. I'm not doing it right. I have all the time in the world to be at home. I don't need to do it now. I'm a little bit of a homebody, but only 30%, I'd say. I'd like to spend 2/3 of my day outside, out and about, 1/3 inside. Sans sleeping, you know, that you have to nix that. That's not relevant to this standpoint. Okay, so been tired, been prepping, been having fun, feeling loved, turning the last year of my 20s, want to reflect on it. I mean, I don't even feel in contact with the girl that I was when I was 21, 22, 23. My mid-20s were sticky, lots of personal shifts going on outside of my control. So I was dealing a lot with that, a lot of grief, a lot of pain, and that may have distracted from a more objective view. But I mean, life is always happening to everyone, you know? So can I really say that? There was also the pandemic. So COVID-19 existed within my 20s, and that probably spun things a bit. But besides that, my main takeaway from my 20s is I was trying so hard my first 3 years or so of my 20s. I wanted to prove that I was an adult. And you know what? I simply wasn't. And that's okay. You know, I had more independence than I'd ever had prior, but I was not adult in the way that I thought it was. It was a facade that I was trying to convince myself to believe. You're sort of like a, how do I describe this? It's tricky because at any given point, you're the oldest you've ever been, right? So you know the most that you've ever known at this point in time, but time will move on and you will go through life and you can say the same thing. So I could sit here 10 years from now, I will know a lot more than I do at this very moment. I figured that would be true when I was in my early 20s, but I was a lot more grounded in my sense of self as a teenager than I was in my 20s. I felt like my early 20s were so incredibly awkward comparatively. I had a good high school experience and I was trying to avoid the don't peak in high school trope. And I had gone full force overcorrection into the opposite way to just try to prove to myself that I was going to have the best life ever. And by that, I think I accidentally made myself slightly miserable because I wasn't really listening to myself. And that pendulum has sort of balanced out towards my later 20s. And I'm proud to say that I feel a lot closer to my childlike self now than I did in my early 20s. I'm also so excited for my 30s. It feels like you just get better. You just get more practice in. As years go on, you understand. I don't know if I understand the world any better, but I understand myself a little bit better. Anytime I get to a point where I think I understand what's going on, I'm like, nope, not one bit. Sorry, I tried my best. I know nothing. But in terms of myself, I do feel a little bit more understood, which that's, I guess, all we can do is try to understand ourselves and make ourselves feel seen and loved and nurture that soul. I was on Substack the other day. And I saw some restaurant owner with a pen in his pocket and the caption over top. And he looks a little concerned. You obsess over your identity in relation to others while your soul rots inside you. And I posted on my story, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. Needed a rebrand anyway. And that's, I think, a little bit of how I felt in my 20s, where I was obsessing over my identity in relation to others. And simultaneously, my soul's rotting inside of me. So I've given my soul a little bit more time to nurture itself and stop obsessing over my identity in relation to other people. That was when I did most of my comparison, because you're finally set free, you know? When you're doing your thing as a child or a teenager, you're in the confines of your parental figures. And when you finally have your own independence, the world's your oyster, you take off running and you hope for the best. But then you see, okay, we've all been set free. We all took off running. Why are they all the way over there and I'm not? Why is this person buying their first house and I am scraping coins from the couch to pay my rent? Why is this person growing in their career and I still have no idea what I want to do? And I think these are questions that a lot of people are asking themselves. Am I making the right decision? Why am I behind? And to that, I say, there is a grand picture. If you have faith, I think it's important to have a little bit of faith. I think it makes life feel a little bit safer when you have that, but to each his own. There's a big picture that we can't see. Our whole life is existing and everyone's on their own timeline. And I could say some trite phrase of, you never know what people are going through. And sure, but a lot of times we do know what other people are going through. We're comparing ourselves to our inner circle. Yes, there's social media and I'm sure you're comparing yourself to people you see online, but you're also comparing yourself to your siblings, your cousins, your neighbors, your peers. And those are people that you oftentimes know more intimately. So I would get some, I don't know, mild gripes about people in my life where I thought they just had it so easy and it felt so unfair. Like, how come their family relationships are so strong and so effortless? And how come they have, you know, support financially and they don't have to pay for rent? I was so jealous of people growing up where I'm like, how lucky are you that you have parents who pay your rent? Like, I was so resentful of that. But then you grow up and then you have people that their parents stop providing for them financially and then they have to take, you know, a downgrade in their life and they're trying to figure out how to manage money for the first time. And then you think to yourself, oh, I've been learning how to manage my own money since I was 16. How nice is this? Is it actually something that I used to be so resentful of others? And now I'm so glad that I don't have to learn this as a 29-year-old and I got to learn it as a 16-year-old. Similarly, someone who has just like such an easy relationship and the girl who's always single and has never had a boyfriend and her best friend is basically about to get married and she's never had a boyfriend, then best friend goes through a breakup and they're back to the same playing field. You know, this was a piece of advice I got from a friend in her 30s. Just like a lot of the marriages that I saw in my 20s where I had envy over are going through their divorce in their 30s. And she decided to get married a little bit later in life, have a child in her later 30s. Now I look at her with such idolization. I respect her path and I love that. I look back and I'm so glad that I did not settle down and have a baby. If you did, good on you. That wasn't my path. And I guess that's my point is that everyone experiences similar things. We all experience hardship, loss, heartbreak, grief, financial stress, instability, anxiety, depression. We all are going to experience these things in our life. I've yet to meet someone that got through life without experiencing any of those things. It's just a matter of, did it happen in your childhood? Did it happen in your teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s? We're all going to have them. We're going to find love. I remember going to some sort of fashion show and Norma Kamali was giving a speech and she had mentioned how she had fallen in love in her 60s and he's the love of her life. That really stuck with me because a lot of times we think your life ends after you turn 35, 40. If you're asking a teenager, they probably think your life ends when you turn 30. I truly feel like my life has just started. But hearing that she had found the love of her life in her 60s, there's so much we've yet to experience. There's so many decades ahead. My ex-boyfriend's dad, I remember, had a different sort of theme for each of his decades. So he got into mountain biking in his 50s. And that also stuck with me where I was still in my second decade of life hearing this. And I thought, wow, you have experienced multiple decades to the point that you can give them a theme. There are things that I would have never picked out. When I was 21, I had no idea that I was going to become such an avid rock climber, that was going to take over 2 years of my life. And I was going to be going to the rock climbing gym 4 to 6 to 7 days a week. So knowing that in my 50s, I could become a sailor. God only knows. I could become a florist. I could become a TV news anchor. The world has so many unknowns. My life has so many unknowns. Why rush it away? And same thing in terms of committed relationships or career growth. You have your whole life to experience these things. What are you rushing for? You know, you have a boyfriend. Let's get engaged and let's get married now so we can have babies now. Why? My therapist always has made major points about the infertility propaganda. A lot of women are under the impression, you know, biological clock is ticking, have those babies. She said, no, you would be surprised how many women in their 30s and even in their 40s sometimes can give birth naturally and they do not have to go through any extra steps to do so. Do not think that time is against you and you need to do this now. If you have things that you would like to do in your life prior to this, go on and do that. Do not let that propaganda stop you. And that, she told me, as a 22-year-old, so got ingrained pretty quickly. And I've always kept that in my mind. And same thing now, seeing women in their 30s, mid-30s, late-30s, early-40s have children naturally has confirmed that that's a possibility. I think a lot of times when we are feeling behind, we don't have examples of people living a life that we want to. And I think it's important to have these role models or have these people to expand your horizon or expand your vision in what you believe is possible. So if you wanted to be independent and live alone, but you live in a small town where everyone is coupled up and they're having babies, and you're looking to live in a high-rise apartment in a city, going out night after night after night, you just have to meet those people. Vice versa, if you're in this scene and you're ready to settle down and none of your friends are like, no, life is about the party. Like, we want to go out every night. We want to, you know, stay up till the sunrise. And you're like, I would actually just love to be booed up and be in my kitchen cooking meals for my family. You know, I want to slow it down. That too, or an international lifestyle. You're living in your country and you want to live in another one, but you've never seen anyone in your life do it. That, I think, is why the internet can be really powerful, just to provide examples of what is possible. Because before that, you just had the people in your life or the people you read about in books or saw in movies. And now with social media, you have real life examples of, if Lexi can do it, I can do it. You know, she was just a random bitch in Virginia. That's how I'd love to be referred to. And decided to move herself to Los Angeles. And then she went to school in New York and lived there and now is back in Los Angeles. Or we could make my life story sound a little bit more glamorous. I just wanted to say that there's examples that you can find on the internet that can provide you with just a visual for your inspiration. I made an outline for this episode and I have not glanced at it once. So let's see how I'm doing in terms of what I had written down. My title that I had come up with for this is Your 20s Are Not a Race, Debunking a Timeline Pressure. I'm actually doing really well. You just have to give me a topic and I will go. I will take you with me. Like, we are on it. I guess I didn't use the word milestones, but I covered that where, you know, finding love, career, marriage, kids, finances, we have these milestones that we want to achieve, to buy our first house, to hit our first million, to achieve that CEO position or to have our perfect wedding. And those don't all have to happen in your 20s, in your 30s. Why? You have a whole life to live. I also feel really blessed that my grandparents were such an avid part of my upbringing and they showed me how much fun that you can have in your later decades. So once again, I used to say as a kid that I was more excited to be a grandparent than a parent. I can't wait to be a grandma. I'm going to be the best grandma in the whole goddamn world. I'm going to have so much fun. I mean, my grandmas, both of them were such hilarious, beautiful figures in my life. I am looking forward to it, but I can absolutely wait. Another pillar I had was career and money. So the stress of landing a dream job versus the reality of your evolving career path. I mean, I've seen it. That happened a ton in 20s, and I'm sure I'll see it in my 30s, where they are working in Bali at a yoga retreat, and then they decide they want to join the corporate world. And there is no shame in the game. If you have decided you want to be a nurse and then you decide that you want to be a school teacher, go do it. There's another myth that, you know, you're too old. You're too old. What? Too old? I'm going to be 90 saying I'm not too old. Let me try it. You know what I want to do in my 70s and 80s? I want to be a model. I want to be an actress. Let me play the Betty White roles. Can't wait for me to be 80 learning lines. Do I want to be an actress now? No. But in a few decades, I do. Let yourself dream. There is so much time to do things. I was thinking about having a family. I'm not interested in having a family now, but I would love to even be experimental with that. And that seems so far away. I want to have the whole family live on a ski mountain for a year or have us live at sea for a year. I don't know. Just be adventurous. I love an adventure. You're talking to the girl that took herself skiing on a whim. Obviously, I love an adventure. I'm about to go to Australia with basically people I don't know and one of my best friends. And I just know it's going to be the time of my life. Why does that have to stop when I have a family? So this whole myth that, you know, you want to live out your youth so that way you can be settled. You don't have to stop that when you have a family. Let yourself find some role models of families that are doing really cool, fun things. That was a belief that I had. I'm like, okay, you do all the cool things in your youth. And then when you have a family, you stay put. That's not true. By and large, ask yourself when you're getting stressed out, why am I rushing? Why am I rushing? What am I rushing to? To death? I want to get it all done now? And then what? Live that same Groundhog Day? What am I rushing for? What are you rushing for? Have a little faith, will you? Please. Thank you. Now let's get into your questions. I asked questions regarding getting older. I also want to read you responses that I got from friends that I asked. So we'll do that. But first, a word from today's sponsors. Listen up. Financial freedom is the only freedom. But here's the thing. Investing is overwhelming to a lot of people, especially with all the fancy jargon that these finance bros are using, trying to overcomplicate the system when I promise you it is really not that difficult. If you are a newbie, let me recommend Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start investing and saving in your future today. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals, and you don't need to be rich already. You can be wanting to be rich, but you can start with just the spare change that you have. I promise you, investing $10 is better than investing $0. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/Lexi or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid on client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to possibly promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/Lexi. Your daily routine could be full of hormone disruptors that you don't even know. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they're all messing with our hormones. And then on top of it, there's the natural hormonal change that our bodies go through, premenopause, menopause, our monthly cycle. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we don't also suffer through it. The good news is there are people that care, and we don't need to suffer through it anymore because we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. The beauty of adaptogens is that they help your body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Symptoms like PMS irritability, moodiness, discomfort, uncontrollable cravings. Menopause symptoms like hot flashes or night sweats, racing thoughts, low mood, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com. And use the code Lexi for 15% off today.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Okay, we are back to read some testimonials from some of my favorite 30s, 40s, 50s, 60-year-olds, starting with Jackson. Turning 30 was one of the best things that happened to me. Biggest shift was all the things I was stressed about in my 20s. Career, social stuff, etc. It just didn't seem like that big of a deal anymore. I feel like I'm in my prime now, especially emotionally. When I asked Lily what was the biggest shift you felt in your 20s versus your 30s, she said caring what people think. I also think my priorities shifted. I used to prioritize social stuff more. In my 20s, I had FOMO. In my 30s, I know that's not a real thing. Then she said, also, anyone I dated before my frontal lobe fully developed was a mistake, but I had a mushy baby brain and I can't be held accountable for that. She said, my 20s, I was also very concerned with labeling myself and figuring out who I am, not realizing that that is ever changing. She said, in my 20s, I saw every relationship and business venture that ended as some sort of failure. Just because something is over or changes or ends doesn't mean it was a failure. Tried to ask my friend Mike, who is one of the wildest people that I've ever met in my life. He said, well, early 20s, I was fucking off and hitchhiking all over the place, backpack style, solo. Late 20s, early 30s, got a real job working in Hollywood for the director. So much more focused, but still wild. And then he later moved to Middleburg, Virginia, and is working in sound and speakers and living on a horse farm. And still wild, let me say, still wild. So as for your youth ends, not if you don't want it to. Not if you don't want it to. This was sweet. Justin said the desire to make more intentional effort of growing closer with my amazing family. And I think a lot of people feel that too, where you spend your teenage years rebelling, you know, you grew up with your family and now you're like, I have to find people that are completely different to this, that, you know, see the opposite sides of me that my family doesn't see. I need to exercise these other parts of my personality. I think I'm projecting, obviously, my experience in my teenage years. I was hanging out with people that couldn't have had more opposite beliefs than my parents and my family. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, you know what? Like, where I came from was pretty great. And I would like to spend more time with them. And I actually love my family so much. And thinking, you know, friends are chosen family, absolutely. But family is also family. And it's fun to have relationships with them. I see that a lot with my friends and their moms, where they grew apart and their mom was their enemy number one. And now that's their best friend again. Patrick's response was pretty similar to Jackson's, just that being 30 has been amazing. 30 has been the most transformative year ever for him, and he'd attribute it to this huge shift in wisdom and decision-making. And he heard all of his friends say similar things, but he felt that his decisions that he made at 30 are all about building the life he wants and in his health and his love and his career versus many decisions in his 20s being driven by society's expectations and what others want. Which seems to be the theme. I feel like the older you get, you're like, I don't give one fuck, two fuck, red fuck, blue fuck. I'm going to do my thing. Like, I care about nurturing what it is that I want. I'm going to stop with my head on a swivel. I don't need it. Like, let's just look inward and we know what we need to know. I want to read you my Aunt Lisa's because it's one of my favorites. She said, I think in my 20s, I was still wanting to just live and not really think about my future at all. I never really thought about myself as an adult in my 20s. I felt like I was playing grown up even when I would go to work. Sometimes I would even feel like an imposter saying that I was playing a grown up lawyer. In my 30s, I worried about everything, whether I was going to be able to afford a house, how much credit card debt I had, and whether or not people thought I was good at my job. I stressed constantly during my 30s and worked my ass off to prove that I could succeed as an adult. My 40s were great. I finally learned that I was good enough to succeed at whatever I wanted and that I could do anything as long as I put my mind to it. I also realized how important and wonderful at the same time it was to actually have a partner to help me do life. Carlos, her husband, and I would actually sit down and set goals. We were working just as hard as we were in our 30s, but it was fun because we had confidence in ourselves individually and as a team. We knew we were adults and yet it wasn't stressful. Life seemed easier in my 40s. This is from the perspective of somebody who has no children to worry about raising. I'm sure it's very different for people who have kids. Now, that being said, it makes me sad because Carlos passed away last year and it kills me. 2 years ago, actually. Wow, time is flying by. May Carlos rest in peace. You were the goddamn man. You were the man. Uncle Carlos. My Uncle Carlos and my Aunt Lisa, they were the goat. Makes me sad, but also makes me happy. And I read Cher's memoir. She said the same thing about 40s being her favorite decade. She says this in interviews all the time. If you could go back to any time in your life, what would it be? And she's like, my 40s, I was really happy. And other family members said the same thing. I feel like there's another good response that I'm missing. But by and large, there's so much more to look forward to. You know, as a 19-year-old, you probably think, God, I'm going to be boring and basically dead when I'm 43. And then you have someone in their 60s being like, that was the best. Oh, you know, I'm thinking of the author of Sovereign Love, Danae Logan. She said that her 40s have been her favorite decade yet, which is really reassuring to hear because there's so much media telling women that, you know, your prime is before your frontal lobe even develops, which fuck that. Oh my God, that's a whole other thing. And I can look back promptly and I look at photos of myself when I was like 23, 24. I'm like, that was not my peak. I don't know why in my brain, I really feel like my late 30s, early 40s. I've felt this way since a teenager. I remember telling my friend this in high school. I was like, I just feel like I'm going to be feeling really good and comfortable in my skin in my late 30s and 40s. I'm really excited for that. Now let's get to your questions. Oh, this is interesting. Jess asked for advice when your partner and friends are ahead career money-wise. For friends, I already gave my answer. We all have our own timeline, and you could say the same thing for a partner, but I feel like for a partner, ideally you would be a team, right? Like as my Aunt Lisa was saying, like it's so nice to have someone, and what a wonderful thing it is to have someone that you can do life with. And of course, on paper, there are going to be people that are quote unquote farther ahead, but you're supporting each other and you're rooting for each other, and them doing really well, that's exciting. And let that be motivating for you to do the same. But everybody's path is different. Everybody's desire is different. And everybody's idea of ahead is different. But ultimately, make it a supportive thing. Sophia asked, how do you make the mundane routine interesting? Tips on stable inspiration and motivation. I mean, motivation's not stable. Motivation is fleeting. You cannot rely on it. Same thing with inspiration. It strikes like lightning. You cannot prepare for it. You cannot expect it. All you can do is have discipline and romanticize the mundane, in my opinion. So for discipline, you just want to have your habits in place. Make it easy on yourself. If you want to start flossing, have the floss right by the toothpaste and toothbrush instead of in a little drawer. If you want to have more fruit, have a fruit bowl sitting out. If you want to read more, leave your book where your phone used to be charging and charge your phone in the bathroom, you know, and have that easier and stick with things. As for the mundane, you make it romantic by slowing it down. Romance is all in speed, in my belief. I think the more slow, the more romantic. So when you're walking to the store, if you're power walking, what's romantic about that? If going for a stroll, suddenly romantic. You want to go for a hike or an afternoon stroll? Which one sounds more romantic? Throwing on clothes? Not romantic. Getting dressed? Like really taking time to put the sock on your foot? To put your bra on and clasp it and put the dress on? That could be so romantic and so sensual and so much more fun to your day. Slowly mixing your matcha, taking time to actually sip it. All of that is more romantic. When you're driving to work, remember, if it's a sunny day, put the top down. Why not? A new routine I want to implement, I learned about yesterday. It's a 30-30-30 rule. You walk for 30 minutes in the morning, you wait 30 minutes to have caffeine, and when you have your breakfast, you have 30 grams of protein. I want to get into the habit of taking a 30-minute walk first thing in the morning. I think the cutest thing I could do to make that better is to have cute little sandals and a little sundress as I'm taking Spoon for a walk. I think that would make it a little bit more romantic. To have my 30 grams of protein in maybe a chicer way, instead of just having spoonfuls of yogurt out of the container, taking time to put it in a bowl, and I could put it in a bun, to put it in a bowl and put sliced almonds and bee pollen and pumpkin seeds and honey and really dress it up, some blueberries, blackberries. How much more romantic does it sound? Just, you know, think of it outside perspective. You just see a girl in a little sundress walking her adorable little dog and then eating her cute little yogurt bowl when she gets home versus someone who's in their hag clothes. You know, we can all be sexy and Adam Sandler at the same time, as a caveat, and then just like pounding yogurt down, which it's fine to rush. We're human. There's times that we don't have time to put on a little sundress, take a 30-minute walk, and make an adorable little yogurt bowl. By all means, there are going to be days where you do look like Adam Sandler and you are just shoving yogurt in your mouth as fast as you can to try to get a little protein in before your day has to start. But if you're looking for ways to make the mundane more interesting, that would be is to provide yourself with more time and take it. Deza asked, what's your opinion on the stigma of going back to school in your later 20s? I am so glad that I took many gap years. I took 3 years off, so I didn't go to school until I was 21, which is still relatively young. I'm so glad because if I went to school when I was 18, I don't even know what I would have gone to school for. I would have been at like Clemson going for business or something. And instead, I ended up at Parsons for communication design, which is a lot more up my alley. I got to live in New York and I probably would have had a great time down south, and I maybe would know more about accounting than I do now. So it's hard to say if that would have been a fine path for me. It just, I wouldn't have appreciated school either. Going right out of high school makes it seem like it's the inevitable next step, when truthfully higher education is such a gift. And to go even just 3 years later made me appreciate it a whole lot more. And so I don't think there should be any stigma about it. If you're 18 and you are ready to hit the town, join a frat, go to the sports games, or go to your little liberal arts school away in New England, whatever that dream is for you, go for it. But if you want to wait, or if you have to wait from circumstances, there's no stigma. Even still, in my school, I always had classes with people that were like a little bit older, in their later 20s, later 30s. I even had someone in their 40s, and no one cared at all. All right, we have two similar situations. Michelle said, still living at home at 28, single, never married, no kids. I feel behind. Then Yben Musa said, turning 30, single with friends, having babies, and parents asking about when I'll have them. I'm 28. I'm single, never married, no kids. As for living at home, I mean, it's expensive to live these days. Like, it's not easy. The economy's not in a great shape. It's not in great shape. It's not in a good place. You know what I mean. Don't judge yourself. Everyone's situation is different, but if you can find a way to make that fun or make that meaningful. I had a friend who had to move back in with her parents, and she was so ashamed of it. It was like, I've already gone out and I've lived on my own, and now I have to move back. Like, what am I doing? There is no shame in that. And now that she's back living on her own, she's like, what a special time to actually be more developed, a little bit older and more mature, and get to spend so much time with my parents without them feeling the need to have to raise me or take care of me. We just get to enjoy each other's company. And that was an incredibly special time for her. And so I know that when you're in this situation, you're stressed out. Like, when is this going to end? When is this going to end? And it's like, it will end. All things come to an end. You're not going to live with your parents for the rest of your life. That would be so incredibly rare. So it's going to end. So enjoy it. And you can take slow strides or quick strides to get your way out of there. But no judgment. As for turning 30 single with friends. Oh, I guess I said I'm 28. I'm not 28. I'm 29 in 3 days. Turning single, friends have babies, your parents are asking when you're going to have them. I do feel pretty grateful that no one in my family has ever really pressured me to have kids young. And I think that's because a lot of the women in my family had children later. And I'm sure there is some correlation between the age you are and the age that your mother had you and when you feel it's time for you to have a kid. Where if my mom had me at 21, I would probably feel pressure at 21 to have a kid. Whereas my mom had me at 34, I'm 5 years away from even feeling that pressure. Whereas someone else felt it 8 years ago. Oh my God, now we have a fun one. Aim K said, hi. That's so cute that you use some of your valuable question space to say hi. I'm about to graduate and move to Hawaii to be an architect. Any advice? I love Hawaii. I love Hawaii. I think I will be going this year. That's so exciting. I love Hawaii. It's such a fun space. Okay, talk about fun aging stories. Lola, my grandma, was a military wife. So my dad and his siblings lived in Hawaii for a long time, and they made friends with other military families that were also in Hawaii and other people in Hawaii, not just specifically military families. But people from that era, even into my grandma's 80s, would spend a month in Hawaii every January. They would all stay at the same hotel. They would bring their kids or their grandkids, and they would all go during the same time and have a little vacation together every year. How cute is that? For Lola to just wake up, leave her hotel room, have coffee with her best friends from when she was in her 30s. That's awesome, you know? So it's reasons like that that I've never been pressed about. Oh God, I'm getting older. It's like, okay, I'm not getting older. I'm just getting better. That's the new affirmation. Anytime it's your birthday and you want to cry, I'm not getting older. I'm just getting better. There's so much that you can't see. You probably have blinders on because of God knows what. Self-doubt. How unfortunate is that, that we have people out here not believing in yourself? You know how much it costs to believe in yourself? Nothing. Nothing. There are people way less capable of you believing in themselves. No reason for you not to. And if you don't believe in yourself, you have to do little actions to make yourself believe in yourself. You know, if you want to do XYZ, do ABC to prove that to yourself. That was so vague. I will provide an example once I think of one. You want to lose weight. So to prove to yourself that you'll do that, you have your 30 grams of protein in the morning and you do that for a week straight. And you're like, look at me. Like, I can trust myself. I do believe in myself. And if I can do that, I can also get 10,000 steps every day next week. And so then you do that. And then you start believing in yourself. Also, I've gotten to a point where I used to be so shy about asking for things when I was younger. And now I just simply don't care. And I honestly think I have a TikTok to credit that, because someone was discussing a conversation they had with their husband where people feel two different ways about asking things. One, asking feels like, you know, you only ask when you need a favor. If you've gone as far as to ask someone for something, that's because you've already done everything in your power to try to achieve it. Whereas there's another perspective where her husband's like, oh, no. Sometimes people are just asking to ask. Like, there's no intensity behind it. There's no need behind it. They're just kind of asking. Some people ask, can you grab me a glass of water? And that's because the only cup left is too high for them to reach. Whereas other people are just sitting down and they see that someone else is in the kitchen, then you're just asking for a glass of water. And if you don't get it, it's fine. And if you do get it, it's awesome. So as I've gotten older, I've gotten way more free with asking things. Same thing in business. I used to be so shy if there was a brand that reached out and they were like, hey, we'd love to send you something. I would always just say thank you, even though I would love to be like, hi, I love your brand so much. If you're ever looking for paid partnerships, I would love to be a part of it. Let me know if you have any time to chat. I would have never, ever, ever said that. And now I don't bat an eyelash at saying that. Chantel asked, dealing with the pressure to be an extrovert if you're really an introvert. That's so interesting. I know my introverted friends feel this way too, but as someone who's more extroverted, I feel like this lifestyle that we exist in 2025 is so catered to the introvert. You would never have to leave the house if you didn't want to. You can get your food delivered to you. You can get your shopping delivered to you. You can work from your computer and you can socialize with people online. There's really no need to go outside if you don't want to. So it's interesting to hear from my introverted friends feeling pressure. I'm like, what pressure? Like, isn't the potential to have a perfect life without ever seeing someone completely handed to you on a silver platter? Whereas I feel the opposite. I'm like, oh my God, okay, I'm working from home. If I want to see people, like, let me take my laptop to the coffee shop so at least I feel like I'm a part of something. I have no coworkers. Savannah said, I feel like if I leave my four-year relationship, it means that I wasted all of that time. That has a name. That's called sunk cost bias. You know what's worse than spending 4 years with someone and then leaving? Spending 4 years and one day with someone that you've wanted to leave. Love this. Someone said 33 and still feeling young AF. And that should be the theme. There's no pressure. This pressure that you're putting on yourself to get engaged, to get married, to have babies, to be farther in your career, to be a millionaire. If your parents are putting that pressure on you, say, listen, everyone's on their own path. Trust me, I'm trying. You want me to get married? I want to get married, but I'd rather wait and get married to someone that I so deeply want to spend my life with than just rush because of this social timeline. And I totally hear that you're looking out for me because this is what you think is best for me. And if that's what was best for me, I really believe that it would have happened and we just need to have a little faith. Now, if there is something in your control, where you're not making moves in your life, in your dating life, in your career, in your finances, then yes, like, make some changes. But there is an element outside of your control that helps dictate your circumstances. You're not completely in control of your circumstances. You're in control of how you react to them, though, as every self-help book has ever said. But take away the pressure. Growing up is fun. Getting older is fun. Things are going to happen when they happen. Have a little faith. And on that note, I will send you all away back to your lives. Thank you for spending the last however many minutes with me. It really means a lot. If you like the show, give it a little 5-star rating. Leave a review on the podcast app. I'd love to read it. Check it out. It means a lot. It means a lot to the show. And if you are a Patreon member, I've actually just adjusted the tiers. So I used to have a Patreon tier for ad-free extended podcast episodes, which I will begin the ad-free extended episode now. But I also have a tier that's the ad-free extended podcast and YouTube channel, which is my other favorite thing to do on the internet, is have my little vlog. So I've been posting additional videos and it's only $1.50 more. So if you guys are interested in that, I will link my Patreon down below. I'll have my Instagram, anything else I mentioned in this episode. I appreciate you all. Enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy your next birthday. Take it with ease, okay? I love you all. Take care. XOXO, Lexi.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.